Hi everyone. Today's reading is from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Nicodemus visits Jesus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?"
Today's sermon is titled "Imposition for Transition." I think that's fairly self-explanatory for you all, but I wanted to offer a little context before we get started. First of all, wow, what a time for a transition. A pandemic at the same time as you're trying to move your church forward in a world where Christendom seems to have collapsed all around us. Wow. At the same time, I think that the context of today's passage speaks to us to this moment. Though it is from a different world, it was under different circumstances, but it does have similarities, I think, matter for us today. So a little bit on the context of where we get this passage for us today. The world where this conversation takes place was one where the church of the time did not have the power it once had. The Romans were now the real rulers in Jerusalem, and though the religious establishment had say about important things, the fact is that the Romans had final say on everything. And that's important to know because now we're in a similar place. The culture outside the church tends to have final say on a lot of things, however we feel inside the church. Now, that's a little bit of the context of where we are during our sermon today. Now, here's the passage that we hear today from the Gospels. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The winds blow where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" We'll stop there for a minute. And this is a very interesting conversation we have here. Jesus tries two different ways to explain to Nicodemus what he means. And Nicodemus just does not get it. Partly is because the world that Jesus is bringing is so different. Jesus came into Nicodemus's world with a radical new way to do things, and also claiming to be much more than anyone should claim to be. And this is probably why Nicodemus waits until it's nighttime to go have a chat with this rebel. Because though Jesus is a rebel, Nicodemus knows that Jesus is onto something good, but can't really get what it is. And worse, Jesus is making noises all over the place that could make the church change into something that nobody's sure would work. Or maybe nobody would want it to work. So when he comes to see Jesus with an honest question, Jesus responds by telling him that he needs to do what sounds to him like the impossible, just in order to be able to hear the message. You must have to be born again in order to even hear what I'm saying. We've had to do that recently, haven't we? I mean, church is supposed to be in a building. Church is supposed to be people physically together, close. So how are we supposed to reach out, to grow, to engage, when we can't even have people come to our very well-decorated sanctuary? It's hard. It's hard now that this world has thrown us into this unknown space where we need to do church in ways that we hadn't even considered before. We have to be born again. This transition is difficult, and we must find a way to be in a position to be able to accept it. Now, of course, it makes sense that for many of us who are church people, that we know a lot of things about church. It makes sense that we're struggling to do church in this way because we know all the ways church should be done. And the more we know, the harder it is to learn the new. And I don't think this has to do with age, though knowing does come more with age, but rather I think it has to do with our egos. The more we know, the better we know how things are done. We've been there, done that, before most of these young people were even born. Worse, we know how things are done, and we like it that way. You can't teach this old dog new tricks. Church is not done that way. Worship is not done outside the building. How are we going to do communion from home? It is a difficult time. Some of us might have to be born again. Now, I'm not saying this is you, Fairview. I am sure you are ever ready to embrace change for the sake of the other. But you know, there are churches who grow accustomed to the way things are done, or they get used to someone doing the things. And when things change, it is very easy to be lost, to be upset, to let go, or worse, sometimes it's very tempted to suspend things and expect the new person who's coming to do whatever it is that we're all used to having our pastor do. And that, what that does is that it muffles, it silences, it makes the voice of the church difficult to hear. Dr. King wrote about this in his book, Why We Can't Wait. He said, "So often the contemporary church is weak and ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. Whenever we wait for someone else to do something, our voice gets lost. Whenever the community is not invested, something is lost. And in times of change, we tend to want to wait for the next visible leader. So we sit or wander around as we wait for someone to discern our future and follow. Well, unless it is different than what we think should be done. So transitions are difficult. It's hard. Some of us might feel leaderless. How are we supposed to make this choice if our pastor is not with us? So what do we do? What now? And I think this is where our title comes into place. I think now, when we're sitting in this what now, we can do the work of getting in position for transition. Perhaps the question is better phrased by saying, am I in position for this transition? Now, the reason I have carefully chosen these words is much more than the fact that they rhyme and might be an okay title, right? In position for transition. Because after all, why not ready for transition or prepared for transition? What about building transitions? Or perhaps something more geographically appropriate to Southern California, disrupting church into transition, creatively disrupting transition. Why not any of those? And I think the problem with those is that we are a church. And as a church, we're supposed to follow Jesus's call to be with those around us. Which means that we don't create a product and then we convince people to buy it. We're not crafting something that then we could sell to people. Rather, we're supposed to do our best to build a home and work hard at helping our invitation to others show what that means, right? A church home where we follow Christ means that it is a safe space where all are equal. Our space where one could cry, where one could shout in pain, where one can be accompanied during the dark, during the tough, and during the happy times in life. In other words, church is a home where we all matter because we are children of God as God created us. So when Nicodemus comes to Jesus and Jesus tells him to be born again, it feels odd to him. But to me, it reminds me of preparing for the birth of each of our two children. You know, in preparation for the first one, I read every book. We prepared the nursery. I spent hours reading websites that will go from whatever you do with your baby, never, ever, ever do this one thing. And then I'll read the next article who would say, if you do anything with your baby, do this one thing. And that one thing is the very same that the other webpage said never to do. And then the child is born, and all of that preparation goes out the window. But the one thing that helped me and continues to help me to this day is to remind myself that what I need to do is embrace the baby we received, which is completely different than what I thought I prepared for and was expecting. And whenever I sit there with my kids, I think, I just can't do this. Whenever I'm wondering, is this the way I'm making sure my kid needs therapy later in life? Whenever it gets too hard, I have to remember to ask myself, am I in position for this transition? So what is this? To be in position is to be prepared in expectation of uncertainty. To be in position is to be ready to go in any direction, fully aware that God is the one who decides what that direction is. To be in position for transition is to be Mary, talking to the angel, instead of Jonah, trying to run away from God. It is to realize that sometimes doing things differently is more effective than convention, like for example with David, who knew being able to move swiftly was much better than facing Goliath on Goliath's own terms. So as you walk into this transition for a new pastorate, for a new pastor, for a new life, for a new space, always ask yourselves, am I in position for this transition? Because as you face a future without your current pastor, without Pastor Sarah, you know, someone who did way more than she should, a pastor who created way more than anyone can carry out. When you face a future without a pastor who pushed, supported, encouraged, and more, as you face this uncertain future, it becomes very important to ask yourselves, am I in position for this transition? Am I ready to welcome the one God brings to us? Am I ready to engage with and discover and look for the future that God brings me? Because that'll be important. Because the temptation will be to want to shape your new pastor into what your previous pastor was. And that's not where God wants you. And lastly, do remember, you will need to be patient. You will need to forgive often and plenty, your pastor, each other, your interim pastor, your leadership. Some people might take you as far as the full 70 times 70. And just as importantly, you will need to care for you. I'll end with the following. Rauschenbusch, a wonderful Baptist theologian, reminds us that a tank of gasoline can blow a car sky high in a single explosion, or push it up to the top of a hill in a perpetual succession of little explosions. Pace yourselves. You don't have to carry it all, nor do you have to finish it either. As Dr. King reminded us, I might not get there with you, but we as a people will. So my prayer is that you do your best to be in position for this transition, so that when the unexpected comes, you might be prepared to move in whatever direction it is faith and hope and God brings to you. Blessings to you, Fairview.